we were going through this tremendous Agadita, and in light of it being Friday, we can talk about Parshas HaShavua. We'll use that as our excuse.
No, you never need an excuse for
Parsha.
Parsha on Friday. It's basically a cold way,
huh? It's Arba. Okay. So the bottom of that Sadi base on the base. Says like this. Amar le rabba le rabba le rabba bar mari. Mina milsa damri inchi kad havinan zutri le gavre. Hashta dikshishna ladardiki. When I was young, I was old. Now that I'm old, I'm young. Or to put it a little differently, the way Rashi says it is that when I was young, I was chashuv like a adult. And then when I'm older, achshav shehiz kaninu, heninu shfelim ketinokos. What's the source? Because it says, Mikar ksiv Hashem holech lefneihem yomam b'amud eish l'anchoisam haderech v'layla b'amud eish l'hayir lahem. Originally, Hashem had tremendous hashras hashchina, amud eish, anan. He guided them through the midbar with a tremendous level of hashkacha and shmira. V'levasov ksiv Hine anochi shalech malach lefanecha l'shmarach avaderech. I'm going to send a malach to protect you, to watch you on the way. However, obviously that's a much lower level of shmira. It's not the same level of shmira. Now, what changed? So, first glance, sounds like what changed. We know what changed. It was the Chet HaEgel, but then it doesn't really prove the point. Because it sounds like it's a din that's totally in youth and age. So if you look at the Gaon in his commentary on the Agados on this, this is an incredible shot. Right. Kamo shekasav b'medrash, mashal hatarnegoilas kishehi ktana, imazana osa b'nosem zvi. If you ever look at little chicks, birds. So how does the mother feed the bird, the little babies? Mamish, the little babies open up their mouth and the mother puts the food in. It's such a beautiful thing to watch. Ukshem megadelas, and then when the chicks grow older, uva lachol ima, and the chicks get ready to start eating, maka isa, the mother throws it out. Lefi shekvar yachayla lozen esatzma. Because at this point the birds are ready to start feeding themselves. Kink she'adam katan boteach al boroi tamid. When someone's young, they're always being boteach al boro. Umanhigo akadosh baruch hu bashkacha tzuma pratius. And memeila, because of that bitachon, so there's a tremendous hashkacha pratis. Ukshen is gadel, when the child grows older, potech ba'atzma, it begins to trust in itself. Like we talked about yesterday, in terms of ishtadlos. Ukemokein, ha'ashkacha nisma etas me'lav, and therefore, likewise, there's less hashkacha. In other words, when we're young, kilu Hashem puts the food into our mouths, or holech lifnehem yomam ba'amud eish, and when we grow older, then Hashem expects us to eat on our own, like the mother bird, and it's just a hashkacha of the malach. Kibo came be Yisrael. Kodem hayam, hayu misyarin min ha-mitzrim, v'hayu boitchim b'Hashem ma'od. When did this first pasuk take place? Holech lifnehem yomam, v'amud eish. Right? That took place in Parshas B'Shalach. The Jewish people were terrified, petrified, totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Achar, so they had tremendous bitachon, and therefore they were zeicha to the tremendous hashkacha. ואחר כך, כשנסמאית ביטחונם, when their ביטחון was lessened, because they weren't as dependent, נסמאית השכחה מעליהם, they had less השכחה, ועל זה היו במקדש קרובים. Says the guy in the tremendous thing. So that's why in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim were Kravya. They were in the shape, the face of the Kruvim were like a young child, a tinok. Lio Shaktanim Hem Kiyum Hashchina. Kovim Hashchina. So what's the Yesod? The Yesod is that when a person is feels dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they have bitachon. And when you start engaging in the world of Hishtadlus, you are able, you start to work, earn a living, and the like. So it's very natural, very easy to feel that your success is a result of your Hishtadlus. And you have less bitachon. Because there's less bitachon, there's less hashkacha. So when we were young, we appreciated our dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we were zochet to tremendous hashkacha. And as we grew older, and we felt less dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're less hashkacha. Now what does this have to do with this week's parsha? That's the whole message of this week's parsha. Kochi va'otzem yad yasali esachay al hazeh. That the Jewish people are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be successful, and they're going to attribute their success to themselves, and they'll separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a tremendous Meshech Chachma in our Parsha. He has a fascinating Ha'ara. We know, of course, there are two brachos that are midaraisa, Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaMazon is midaraisa after the meal. We know Bracha Rishona is only midrabanan. So it's fascinating that when it comes to food, the bracha de'oraisa is the bracha after you eat. What about the other berachas, bracha de'oraisa, berachas ha-Torah, k'shem Hashem ekra, hu'bud alu k'enu? So there are two. We have bracha rishona and bracha achrona. The bracha rishona is de'oraisa. The bracha achrona is, everybody agrees, midrabanan. So why is it that when it comes to food, the bracha rishona is de'oraisa, and when it comes to Torah, the bracha achrona is de'oraisa?
How am I missing? What bracha achrona is there? Oh, I mean, this
after
is like...
Maria.
Oh, after no.
Right. No, there is a Birkas HaTorah that exists as a bracha achrona, but it's only drabana. Mm-hmm. Says the Meshech Chachma, tremendous thing, which is that the brachos de'oraisa are coming lafuke human nature. So naturally, before we eat, we do turn to God. When we're hungry, we naturally realize that we need Hashem. Our dependency is more intuitive. And therefore, there's no need for bracha de'oraisa. But when isn't that true? And this is mamish the context, he says, of the bracha of Birkas HaMazon in our parsha. B'chalta v'savato v'irachta. After Sviya, pen Yishman, v'yishman Yeshurun v'yivat. After we're Soveya. So then, it's much harder to remember Hashem. Yeah, in theory, we remember Hashem. But to feel that dependency upon Hashem, that's much less intuitive. That's much more difficult. And therefore, we need deraisa. When it comes to Torah, it's the opposite. After we learn Torah, we appreciate Torah. We don't need a bracha deraisa because the experience of Torah helps us come to an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chiddush is that before we learn, we need that bracha because we're not there yet. But so that's the yesod of this Gemara. But I think there's an additional nuance that perhaps we didn't realize that much. Everybody knows the idea of Vayishman and Yishurun Vayivat, that after, when you're successful, it's easy to reject Hashem because you don't feel dependent upon Hashem. But what our Gemara is saying is, it's not just success, it's simply growing up. Because when we grow up, we feel less and less dependent. And if we're less dependent, then there's less hashkacha. In other words, we're not just talking about in this Gemara about someone who rejects Hashem, but but simply the lack of dependency results in a lower level of hashgacha. So that's the yesod of our Gemara. That's the yesod of our Gemara. Yeah. And therefore, just say one last point. It's not the chait, right? This pasuk that we quote, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefanecha L'Shmarcha Baderech, is not the pasuk. Where is that? It's from Parshas Mishpatim. It's Kodem Achet. It's just growing up. It's after Har Sinai. It's the difference is, you know, Parshas Bishalach versus Parshas Mishpatim. It's not Parshas Bishalach versus Parshas Kisisa. The point is, it's not the sin that causes the lack of Hashgacha. It's the lack of dependency that causes the lower level of Hashgacha. And that's the lashon of the Gra. Shenismait bitchainam, nismait hashgacha me'alayim. We talked about how a person can't have inappropriate bitachon. That's being so mechalanes. But with appropriate bitachon, so the more bitachon you have, the more hashgacha there will be. We saw that towards the beginning of the parak with the Ramban when we did the discussion of nitna rishus l'rofi l'rapos, and now we see that at the end of the parak with the Gra. On this Gemara. Yeah.
But wasn't Moshe Mevakesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not do that?
Yeah. And maybe it was answered, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was partially answered, all that's true. But happens to be that Rashi doesn't learn this. Rashi learns the same, this is a future reference to what's going to happen. If you look at the Rashi in Barsham Shabbat, it says that Rashi, that because they were going to be Chodei. Right. But many of the other Rishonim note that this is not the same parsha. What's it doing in Parshas Mishpatim? And this is not the same thing that Moshe prays not to happen after the chait. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rava L'Rava Bar Mari Menah Melzud Amri Enshi Basar Mari Nichsei. Sivi Mashach. Amrle, Dixit, the Gamalot, Alech, as Avram, Hayatzon of Akar, Vohalim. Hang around a rich guy, and you'll get rich. Okay, this is true on many levels. Amar, make sure he's like Avram, though. Amar Avchanan, Hamoser Din Al Chavego, Nanash Tchila. If you're Moser Din, then you'll be nanash tchila. What does Moser Din mean? It means you turn to Hashem and you want Hashem to judge that person, to punish that person on your account. And that's something you shouldn't do. How do we see that? Shenemar. Batomer Sarai Avram Chamasi Alecha. Now, really, we need to quote the end of the pasuk here. The end of the pasuk is where Sarah says, "Yishpot Hashem beinu veinecha," meaning to say that Sarah was Moser Dino shel Avram Avinu, in that she had tainos against Avram for his allowing Hagar to not properly respect Sarah. No, that would have been okay had she just said to Avram Avinu, "I had tainos against you for not stepping in and protecting me." But she went one step further. She said, "Yishbod Hashem beinu veinecha," and that's the problem. And because of that, so she was nanash tchila. How do we see that? The ksiv, Vayavar Avram lispod l'Sarah v'lefkos another two died first. Sarah, presumably, the Sarah, who was a great tzaddikah, should have lived as long as Avram Avinu, but she died earlier. Now, it's interesting. It says, "Hu nifka tchila." It sounds like Avram Avinu also was punished. It's just Sarah was punished first. So how do we see that from this pasuk? Maybe the pshat is that had she not been Moser Estina, they would have died at the same time. This way, she was punished, she died earlier, and he was punished afterwards. She was Trila because Lefkos lesarav, lefkosa, he was very sad. Otherwise, if they would have died at the same time, as should have been the case, then there wouldn't have been any sadness. V'hani mili de'is le dina be'ara. That's when there's a din in the land. And even that, if you look at the Ramah, and the Ran quotes it, that still you should be a modia tchila. Amar Rav Yitzchak.
Maybe.
Yes.
Meaning wasn't, maybe misunderstood, but like, the diuk in nenash tchila is that really Avram Avinu was also punished for this.
Right.
Where?
That's what I just told you. That he was depressed and saddened by her death.
That's
in Nenash Tchila. What would have been had this episode not happened? So they would have died at the same time.
Well, they
no, but meaning if this episode still hadn't happened, you should still assume that Avram would have been punished. No,
maybe, maybe not. But he was Nenash. No. The whole episode. Forget. She didn't say anything. The whole thing didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
So they would have died at the same time. She was Nenash Tchila because she was Moser Dino Lashem, and he was Nenash because of that, because of what he did. So, but she was Nenash Tchila.
Mm-hmm.
So they both suffered. Amr Yitzchak, Ailo Letzayek, Yoser Menanitzak. The suffering of the Tzoyek will be even worse. Tana Mihachi. So the curse of even a regular person shouldn't be kal. We say elsewhere that the bracha of a hedyot shouldn't be kal, and the kal of a hedyot shouldn't be kal. There's tremendous koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the koach hadibur. And with Dibor, he created the world, and therefore there's a koach to both brachos and klalos, not just of a tzaddik, but even of a hedyot. Shayavi melech kilala sara. In his kind bizarra, how do we see that? Shenemar, hinehu lach sus enayim. When Avimelech gives back sara to Avram, so he says, harehu lach sus enayim. So what does that mean? Amr lach. Hol v'ksisa mimani v'lo gilisa shehu isheich, because you hid from me that she was your wife, v'garamta alai hatzaras, and you caused me all this tzaras, all the holes were plugged up, v'hi ratzon shehu lecha banai ksuyei einayim. And this in fact happened. V'neskayim bezara t'chsev v'ayihi ki zaken Yitzchak v'atechena einav niros. Your children should be blind, as indeed happened with Yitzchak when he got old. Amr b'yevau, li'olam ye adam, min anirdafin v'lo min arodfin. A person should be among those that are nirdafin, that are chaste, and not those that are rodfin, that are chasers. She'en lecha nirdaf be'ofos yosem miturim u'pnei yona, v'chshira nakasav l'gabe mizbeach. The birds that are most chaste are the ones that happen to be kosher for a karban. So in a sense, we should also be a karban. Now, why is this? Why should we be menan erdafim? Is it really a good idea to be menan erdafim? Should you be pursued and chased? So the Marsha gives two pshatim. Number one is you should be among the nirdafim to help them and protect them from the rodfim. Doesn't mean you should be chased, but when you see somebody being persecuted, being abused, being taken advantage of, you should join them in the sense of helping them, protecting them, supporting them. He gives a second shot, which is that even if a person could fight back, sometimes it's better not to. In other words, you should be menan erdafim, you should sometimes back out of a confrontation. You shouldn't be menan erodfin. When somebody goes ahead and attacks you in some way, even when you sometimes have the ability to fight back, sometimes you should be menan erdafim, you should back out. and back out of the confrontation is better sometimes than fighting. Again, assuming that you're not being harmed by doing that, by backing out. And according to this, the raya that we're bringing from the karban is actually very good. It's a little more meduk according to the second shot. There's a medrash that seems to make the same point. The pasuk says in Koheles, "V'halokim yivakeshes on your daf," and the medrash says, "Afilu tzadik rodef rasha, v'halokim yivakeshes on your daf mikol makol." And it says that's why the A's, the keves, and the shur are chosen for korbanos, because they're there, the nirdafim. In other words, the rodfim are the aryeim, is the ave, and the nirdafim are the sheep and the goat, and we should be minha nirdafim, not minha rodfim. The Rambam says this in a slightly different way. He says that we learn from this Gemara that a person should be respectful of other people's rights and not to insist on your own rights, to be generous with others, but to be medakdek al atzmo. Listen to the Rambam. This is in Hilchos Deos, quoting our Gemara, Perek Hei Halacha Yud Gimel. So the context of this parak is the behavior of a Talmud Chacham, meaning to say, not the behavior what everybody has to do, but type of midas chasidus. Maso matano shel Talmud Chacham be'emes uve'emuna, omer alav lav el hein hein, medakdek al atzmo b'cheshbon b'nosein. In other words, everybody has to be honest in the sense of not cheating and not stealing, but the Talmud Chacham has to be even more medakdek. He has to keep his word even when at times he might not legally be required to keep his word. There are certain times where I might agree to do something, agree to sell something, and circumstances change, and legally I'm allowed to back out. We didn't sign a contract. But a Talmud Chacham is someone who always keeps his words. He's medaktik al atzmo b'cheshbon, but v'nosing u'mevater l'acherim. In other words, when it comes to himself, he always gives everything that he owes. When it comes to other people, he's forgiving. He's generous. Not medaktik alen. V'nosing d'me'amekach l'alter. He pays immediately. That's a story. This is the Gemara at the end of Yuma, Hechidam Mikiddush Hashem, the story of Rabbi Yochanan, that he never took meat on credit. Veino nase, lo ari, velo kablan, velo yavo, beharsha. These are like kunsin, ways to get money, even money that you're technically entitled to. On mechayv atzmo b'divrei mekoch memka, b'makom shaloch yavo, sa'atay rakadei, shiyamo b'dibura velo yishaneo. Ve'im nischayv lo acherim b'din, but if other people are chayv to him, so he's generous. Marech. He gives him extra time, umocha, umalta, v'chalme. V'lo yered, l'tochum, naso, shachavero. Meaning to say, a lot of times a person legally is allowed to open up a new business, even if it's going to put the other guy, cost him a lot of business. It's very hard to successfully sue someone for yered, l'tochum, naso, shachavero, certainly according to the Rambam. But that's not the hanag of a Talmud Chacham. I'm not going to pick a business that if I go into this business, it's going to put somebody else out of business or take away their parnasah. Don't cause other people pain. And this idea is what our Gemara is teaching us. Says the Rambam, this is the klal. Yeah, min hanir dafim v'lo min harodfim, min halelavim v'lo min haolvim. V'adim she'oseh kol maisim ha'elu kiyotzi bahen alav ha'kasav omer. Espar, meaning to say, I, Hashem, am glorified through you, the Jewish people, the Avdei Hashem, who act in this way, who are osin lifnim mishur sadin. That's the yesod of our Gemara, one of lifnim mishur sadin. Says the Gemara Vayter, back to Halacha. Ha'omer sma es eini. Amar le Ravasi bar Chama le Rava. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. We have a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa. What's the stira? When it comes to Chavala Begufo, if I say, you could punch me and you're Potter, what's a halacha if you punch me? You're Chayev. When it comes to clothing, it's not true, you're Potter. What's the chiluk? Amarle, reisha lefish ena demochal rosh evarim. Very simple. A person is not rochel on rosh evarim, right? What person would really be mochel on somebody else if they chop off his finger? So it's not real mechila, so vada your chayev. Amar le, v'chiyad emochel al tzaro, detanya, hakeni tzaini, al menas liftor pater. If I say, torture me, al menas liftor, your pater. Now, if we're going to say that the guy doesn't mean it when he says, cut off my finger, so he probably also doesn't mean it when he says, scratch my skin and whatever other things. Hakeni tzaini, punch me in the nose, right? He doesn't mean it either. So ishtik, taki didn't have an answer. In other words, the din of the Mishnah we could explain, but we can't explain the braisa in light of the din, in light of this chiluk, the chiluk of whether the person is actually mochel or isn't mochel. So Amar, meida shmiya lecha baha. So do you have pshat taka? Amar lei, hachi amar sheshes, mishum pegam mishpacha. Yeah, I'll tell you the pshat. The difference is pegam mishpacha. What does that mean? When a person's finger is cut off, so then it's not just personal pain that he's experiencing, but there's pegam to the mishpacha, the whole family is embarrassed. Mash'ein kein, when it comes to the case of hakeni tsareini, since there's no damage to the body, though it's a very painful experience, so the only person that experiences the pain is the nechbal. There's no pegam mishpacha, and therefore it works. That's also the answer of Rav Hoshea. So, before we go on to the next answers in the Gemara, let's stop and think about this for a moment. What exactly is this answer saying? So, why is it a little strange? What we're saying is that if a person, if Reuven chops off Shimon's finger, so it's not just Shimon that experiences the pain, but it's Shimon's whole family. Fine. But who gets the money? Shimon. You're not chayv to pay Shimon's family. And therefore, Shimon could be mocha. So, what difference does it make that there's pigam mishpacha? Lemaisa, the money that the Torah is mechayev, goes to Shimon. Shimon has the ability to be mocha. So l'chora, what we're saying is that since you're not the Bialim, you can't be mocha. It might be that Shimon is the only one who would get paid, but that doesn't mean he's the only one harmed. Sometimes there are cases where people are harmed and injured, and the Torah is not mechayev tashlumin for that particular injury. So the Torah wasn't mechayev tashlumin to the mishpacha when Reuven cuts off Shimon's hands, and Shimon's whole family is now embarrassed. You're not chayev money to them, but you still harm them. And therefore, Shimon lacks the ability to forgive this. Now, one second. I don't understand. Let's say he did it. Let's say Reuven did, in fact, cut off Shimon's hand, and then Shimon was mochel. What's the din? Avadetz nimchal. Reuven doesn't have to pay him. So you see that Reuven does, in fact, have the ability to be mochel. So if he has the ability to be mochel, why doesn't it work? So l'chora, what you see in our Gemara is a very important chiluk, which is that there's a distinction between preemptive mechila and post facto mechila. Shimon cannot be preemptively mochel because of the harm to his mishpacha, but once he's harmed, since all there is a monetary debt that's owed to him, so if there's a monetary debt that's owed to you, you could be mochel. Now, even though here anyway, we're only talking about the money, right? We're not talking about the yeser. It could be as we discussed earlier, that regardless, he's over on the Isser. He's over on the Isser for even for Tzareini and Hakeini. Right? Now there's our Gemara, L'chora. We could return to this question if you'd like, if we have time. But according to most opinions, like we saw, Ein Adam Rishai Lachvol Ba'atzmo. Certainly, you can't be Chovol Ba'achirim with their Rishos. So our Gemara is not talking about the Isser Shabbat. Because Lagabi the Isser Shabbat, even Hakeni Psa'eni, it doesn't work. So Elamai, our Gemara is talking about the Mamonis exclusively. So, if it's just the Mamonis, so Maishna. The answer is that there's a difference between preemptive mechila and post-facto mechila. Preemptive mechila only works if I'm the bialim. And what preemptive mechila, in a certain sense, is it redefines this action. And I have the right to redefine this if I'm only the one that's harmed. But once somebody else is harmed, then I don't have the ability to redefine the action. Now, if I'm mochel after the fact, so I could be. Because at that point, all there is a chi of mamon. The chi of mamon is exclusively to me. I'm the bialim on my mamon, and therefore I could be mochel. But to preemptively be mochel, when we talk about preemptive mechila isn't just, I promise you I'm going to be mochel after you do it. Probably such a promise isn't even binding. Preemptively being mochel is redefining the act. Now we'll talk about this a little later, is that true or not? But for now we're going to assume that way. Preemptively being mochel is redefining the act. So do I have the rishus to redefine the act? The answer is, if I'm the only one that's being harmed, I do. So I could say, if you do this, you won't have to pay. And in fact, you won't have to pay. But once there's somebody else being harmed, so I don't have that authority to redefine this act because I'm not the only person being harmed through this act. There's pigam mishpacha. So therefore I can't. I lack the rishus to redefine it. If he does it, and then I'm ocha. So at that point, since it's only a chov, so then I'm the bailam and chov. I could be my chov. Yeah.
Where does Rebbe know that it's possible that he can be mochel post facto?
Because there's no such thing as a mamonis dekachov, you can't be mochel, as far as I know. Right? Did you ever hear that for Nezek, mechila doesn't work?
Well, if you assume that there's an onish component, so mehechatesi, if someone else is...
So Taka, it's an interesting ha'ara that you might have... If you look at this as an onesh, you could have imagined that maybe mechila doesn't work, but it's not true. And as we saw before, because even though there's an onesh component, the onesh is ultimately mamon. And therefore, in the world of mamon, mechila works. Right? And if you were right, then you shouldn't be able to have mechila even for hakeini p'tzaini. Tzareini.
Now, there is a case. The bed did not end up a hayavid for the tzar of the mishpacha. Let's say somebody has a father that is the trigger. The trigger knows something from the father being like, I don't know, before he's strong bed and we can become healthy cock. Okay, they give compensation to the.
Right. That would be.
How about the family also? They did compensation.
So that's true. But that's generally speaking not actionable, meaning to say that will be like a grama. Whenever a person does some type of harm, there's going to be all sorts of secondary damages. But generally speaking, the Torah only pays, you have to pay for the primary damage, not the secondary people that are harmed. So maybe bidei shamayim, but not bidei adam. You can only sue for direct damage, not indirect damage. But that's what we're saying. You don't have the rishus to be mochel on that in advance. Now, Let's talk about, for a moment, something that I took for granted just a moment ago, which is, is it true that I have no reshus to give, to say tzareini, right? With respect to the iser, right? I said, with respect to mamonos, we're saying that you could do. But with respect to the iser, I said you can't. I said, l'chorat pashat, because l'maisa, if you can't be chovel ba'atmo, right? When you're chovel, if it's aser to be chovel ba'atmo, so that is, you're giving, there's nesinas for shus, right? And still it's aser. And that's an idea that we saw in Rav Moshe. A number of places where you see this, and there's a very fascinating Shuvas HaRash, which states this in an interesting context. It's Simen Klal Samaches Simen Yod. There's a famous Shakespearean play, Merchant of Venice. And in the Merchant of Venice, there's a Jewish moneylender named Shylock who demands a pound of flesh from the person who he owes money if he doesn't pay. Okay? It's not a very attractive portrayal of Jews. But anyway, Rav Zevin wrote a very fascinating essay in which he titled Mishpat Shylock. And he was clarifying the Shylock. What happens if you do? What happens if two people make an agreement that I'll lend you $1 million, and if you don't pay me, you have to give me a pound of flesh. Or, let's even say, you'll have to be my evet. Forget flesh. Could you do that? So the Rush already deals with this issue, and even before Shakespeare. And Shakespeare must not have seen this Rush. But the answer is, you can't, Zasser. It doesn't work. The only time a person would become an evet if you don't pay a debt is dafka for geneva, but not for chovos. Afal pi, he writes, sha'adam yachol lahasnos v'limchol al tzar gufo, kedemuchach perkachoyvel, argamara, quotes argamara, ditznan ha'omer, sema eini kta es yadi shaver es ragli chayv amanas liftor chayv, kraksusi shverkadi chayv amanas liftor potter, v'ka amar, Maishna Resha, Maishna Sefer, Rav Oshi Amar Mishim Pagam Mishpacha, Rav Amar Mishim Shenad Moichal Al Roshay Varim Shalom, Rav Yochanan Amar, we didn't get to these answers yet, Yesh Lav Shehu Kehain, Yesh Hain Shekalav, Halacha, Kereb Yaichanan, Titani Kavase Alma, Shadim Yochal Asnos, the Limcho Al Roshay Varim Shalom, Hanimili Lifter Mitashlom, and if you really, really, really mean it, so Reb Yochanan says it works. But that's only with respect to Tashlomin. Aval chatchila, ena tzanayim alol shehem mutar lachof guf chaveiro v'laso slo shum tzar begufo. You can never, ever, ever, ever give anyone reshus to be mitzayer your guf. And that Rosh is paskin shulchan aruch hoshem mishpat sadi zayin sif tesavav. The Rivash also holds this opinion. Why? Why can't I give you rishus to beat me up? Why not? There's a minhag in Erev Yom Kippur. People give each other malchus by the mikvah.
You do that.
You do that.
Morocco used to hear Rabbi Yakuta when he came. He did it, but we started between that. We used to do
I guess you're a tzaddik. You didn't need such big malchus. So is it mutter to give somebody rishus? This is a very interesting shala. Are you allowed to box? Go boxing, right? You're basically giving somebody rishus to punch you. Tackle football. don't know.
But those are different. Those are your protectors. Meaning, there's a difference between letting someone hit you and you being able to protect yourself.
Well, boxing is, I give you rishus to punch me as much as you want. I'm just, I'm an ass that I'm allowed to punch you back.
And protect him with the punches. I stop the punches. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're still getting punched. You're still here. You're just...
You don't have to be. If you're a good enough boxer, you're not going to get punched.
You're still, even if you block, you're getting punched, no? I don't know. I think I think if I went into a boxing ring and I went like this and he punched me right in the... So are you allowed to give rishus to someone to punch you? So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says no. And he tells you the reason. This is in Hilchos Nizkei Guf V'Nefesh V'Dineyan Sif Dalet. Aser lahakos es chaveiro, afilu no sein lo rishus lahakoso. You can't be mocking. Now, I'm not saying sports are aser. As the rule in for basketball, Moko, when Willard plays, is that he has to be on the same team as his kids. Now, the real reason is because they're good at basketball. He wants to win. The excuse is because you're more likely to injure the opponent. You know, you're going up for a shot. So they stay on, be on the same team as your kids. All right. I don't know if you're chayv to do that. We know that, of course, you do. There is a greater zehiras for child to parent. That doesn't exist in other cases because of the nature of the Isser Hakah, right? You're allowed to, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, I could pull out your splinter, but it's better if there's at least another option not to do that for your father or your mother. But anyway, the point is, so what's the halacha? So says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it's Aser. Why? Ki ein adam rishus, ein adam rishus agufo klal hakoso, right? As we said before, we're not the Bailam on our guf. So, while I'm leaving aside issues of Baal Tashchis, I can give you rishus to damage my property, but I can't give you rishus to damage my guf. Why? We're not the Bailam on our guf. And he says, not just guf, but he says, v'lo levasho, v'lo letzaro, b'shum tzar. I can't give you rishus to embarrass me. How do we know that? Where do we see that from our Gemara? That's from the story of the lady with the oil. The Gemara says that, let's assume like Tosas, that the conclusion of the Gemara is it's aser for a person to be chovel be'atzmo and to be mevayesh esatzmo. In the end, we don't accept the distinction between busha and guf. So therefore, what Rabbi Akiva was saying to that guy is, yeah, what she did was wrong. The lady who took off her hat to get some oil and store it in her hair, whatever exactly she was doing, right? She was Mevayesh Asansma. Says Rabbi Akiva to her, what you did is, what she did might have been wrong, but doesn't mean that you're allowed to do it to her, and therefore you have to pay for embarrassing her. But the point is, you can't be Mevayesh Asansma. You can't be Mitzaris Atzmo, and if you can't be Mevayishas Atzmo, that means you can't give somebody Rishus to be Mevayish you. Okay? Does that mean you're not allowed to be that... My daughter ran a carnival earlier this year, so she was... her job was, you know, that the person that puts the head in the thing and then they try to throw the pie at your face. So I said she can't do that for a different reason. I said it's also because of Baal Tashchis. But... So she said, what if it's shaving cream pie? I said, okay, maybe. But that... What?
Wasting shaving cream?
Yeah, maybe. Food, B'zayon Ochlin is different. In other words, it's wasting shaving cream, but this is in the spirit of fun. It's less obvious that that's going to be usher. In other words, you're allowed to do fun things. But what about the isser of being mevayesh atzmo? That's not a busha. That's like she said. It's the most coveted job in the carnival to get to that job. Actually, everybody else has to do menial tasks, sweeping up the popcorn on the floor. Like, what could be more fun than getting a shaving cream in your face? But anyway, the But the point is that, so, okay, so maybe that's mutter, maybe, but true levayish es atzmo is aser. Vafilu b'minias ezemaychal o mishta. You can't starve yourself, you can't fast. Then he says an interesting exception. Elim kenosim derech tshuva. You could fast for tshuva. Shetzar zeh toiva hilo lehinatzel lehatzil nafshel mishachas. And not only that, but chen mutter lehisanos letshuva, and even if it's not for tshuva, for someone who wants to be memarik es atzmo lehashem, so that's okay. I think, by the way, his formulation sounds like, if you remember, when we did Reb Lazar Kapar, we saw three mahalchim among the Baalei HaTosfos. What's the pshat? Either it's never mutter, it's mutter, Tosfos' middle view, that it's aser, but the cost is greater than the, sorry, the gain is greater than the cost, so it's okay. And then that it's always okay, assuming you remain tahor. That seems to be his perspective. But anyway, without getting into too much detail, so Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, says that it is aser to be mevayish es atzmo, and it's aser to be mevayish other people with their rishus. And that's the yesod of our Gemara. Our Gemara is only talking about what? The mamonis. But with respect to the iser, there's no way to give rishus because you're not bailim on your guf and you're not even bailim on your reputation. Now, the issue with this mahalich, which we already alluded to, is if this is really true, then why is it mutter to get earrings? So I think the easier mahalich to say is, again, what we said before, which is that you can never give rishus for someone to be over in the iser, right? But earrings are okay, because it's not derech nitzayim. So you're not giving rishus for someone to be over in the iser, because the iser of chovel is not violated when it's derech yipoy. So earrings are mutter. Moshe says even a plastic surgery could be a mutter, assuming there's no sakana issues, because that's not derech nitzayim. Now,
meaning that's not the previous hagdara we're assuming.
That's not what?
Meaning if you're assuming you're not a bailam on your goof, then who cares about derech nitzayim?
No, that's not true. In other words, a definition of, you're not bailam on the goof, and therefore when there is an iser, when this constitutes chayvel, the iser of chavala, so then I'm not bailam on my goof, therefore I can't give you rishus to be over an iser. However, when it's not a violation of the iser, like it's not derech nitzayon, right? It's not chovel and it's not derech nitzayon. So then, it's okay. But then, in other words, the reason why it's mutter is not because I have the right to forgive the iser; it's because it's not aser. Now it happens to be that it's my rishus that makes it not derech nitzayon. In other words, if you pierce my ears against my will, that would be derech nitzayon, right? But the point is that once I give you rishus to pierce my ears, so now it's not derech nitzayon, and memela, it's mutter.
But why do I need it? Like, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is, if
I don't know if the Shulchan Aruch, how the Shulchan Aruch HaRav would answer that question. I'm saying, maybe he would say this, maybe not. It doesn't sound like he's saying this. I'm saying a slightly different pshat. I'm saying the pshat is, but maybe this is what he means also, is that that you don't have, when something is aser, it's aser. I don't have rishus to be matir esurim.
But that's irrelevant of whether or not you're
and therefore, when it's aser, since there's an iser to be chovel, so then it's aser regardless of whether I give you rishus. My rishus might exempt you from payment, but it doesn't make what's aser mutter. So therefore, rishus doesn't help. Sometimes rishus will make it not derech nitzayon, and if it's not derech nitzayon, then it's not aser.
But meaning, but why? If lemaisa it's aser in all cases anyway.
Anytime it's, every time it's defined as chovel, then it's aser. Rishus will sometimes make it not chovel. So earrings are okay because that's not chovel because it's not derech nitzayon. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's even permissible to allow doctors, let's say, to draw blood for research, even though no current patient is benefiting. As why? Because that's not derech netzayon. As long as there's very little pain involved, and the donor grants permission, then that's okay. Rav Moshe has a similar vart. If it's at least less than a shava pruta of damage, it's a different Rav Moshe, not the ones that we saw. I hadn't seen this one when we gave the shir on this topic, but it's, if you want to see, it's Or Chaim Chela Gimel Simen Ayin Ches. So the point is that it's not that your Rishus makes what's Aser Mutter. No, if it's defined as Chavala, then it's always Aser, and I don't have the Rishus to be Matir that Aser. Maybe, because I'm not the Baal Amon Meguf. You could say that Svara. Maybe not.
But what? Why would I need that? Meaning, if it's also, you can't be Matir irrelevant of Baal Amon Meguf. Why would that Hagdar be necessary?
True, because if the alternative way of seeing it, we're going to actually talk about this when we talk about Nezek in a moment. So I'm a little bit jumping the gun and perhaps even taking a stand on what I want to talk about in just a couple minutes. But let's give an example for Mamon. Right, I am the Baal Amon my Mamon, and therefore I could give you Rishus Lahazik, my Mamon. And it's not the Isser. You're not in violation of the Isser. Krak Susi is, again, with respect to Baltashkas, maybe I don't have that authority because that's been out of Lamakon. But with respect to the Isser Lahazik, so because I'm Bailam on my Mamon, I could give you Rishos and Memela, there's no Isser. But because I'm not Bailam on, this is the way the Shulchan Aruch Harav is putting it, but because I'm not Bailam on my Guf, then I can't give you my Rishos. My Rishos doesn't matter the Isser.
Meaning which would translate as, I can't remove the Derech Nitzayon of this Chavolah.
Okay. If it is Derech Nitzayon, even though it's Rishos, it's still going to be Isser. That's exactly
right.
What Rav Moshe writes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, also ask giving down the flesh.
Absolutely.
Why is it derech nitzayon any more than piercing the ear?
Because it's derech hashchasa. It's derech.
So it's also derech nitzayon or derech hashchasa.
So yeah. So first of all, Moshe sort of likes both girsas in the Rambam, derech nitzayon and derech bizayon. Even though we don't have any girsa that says bizayon, he likes that girsa. But the idea is that I have the ability that as long, and the same thing is true for myself. In other words, if I do something to, in a way, to cause myself pain, then that's derech nitzayon ubizayon to me. And therefore it doesn't help. That's why, again, the blood donation, shelo b'makom pikuach nefesh, could be aser. In the end, he's matir because he thinks it's healthy to give blood, and because there's not much pain, but without that, it would be begeder. It would be the equivalent of nitzayon ubizayon. Right? Rishus doesn't take away. So yes, according to Rav Moshe, mishpat shaylak is aser. Okay. Now. Not everybody agrees with the assumption I made. Until now, I was taken for granted, and this is what a number of Rishonim hold. We quoted the Rush, this is also the view of the Rivash. The Minchas Chinuch disagrees. According to the Minchas Chinuch, Rav Oshia's answering is much simpler. That I, what's the chilk between Tzareini versus Rosh Eivarim? Because Rosh Eivarim is Pagam Mishpacha, so it's us. I have no right to be mochal the Isser because other people are being harmed. Whereas when it's just tzareini, so it's very simple. I have the right to be mochal. Since I'm the only party getting harmed, I have the right to be mochal. And that works not just with respect to the mamon, but it works with respect to the Isser. In other words, they're linked. They're linked. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch that's okay. That's because assuming you're not going to, assuming it's safe for the donor it's okay because that's pikuach nefesh. In other words, it's aser to donate a kidney, but it's mutter to violate the Torah to save a life. So that's why it's going to be mutter to donate a kidney, because every kidney donation is pikuach nefesh. Right. So that's a little more complex, but right, exactly the point. Nobody ever, whenever you're talking about a kidney donation, it's not like, oh, you know, it'd be nice to have an extra kidney. could you please donate one to me? Right? It's on someone who's on dialysis, and they're not going to, they might not die. Right. They're not going to die tomorrow, but they're going to die from their disease. And by donating the kidney, you're saving their life. So even though it's usur, as it were, to donate a kidney, but it's mutter to violate the isur for pikuach nefesh. Assuming, again, the donor's life is not going to be at stake. To kill yourself to save somebody else's life, or even to endanger yourself to save somebody else's life, is a different story. That's a machlokas and poskim.
It's a little like endangering life, because usually these people that give donation are at the elderly age.
It's not, like I mean, that's, you have to find, you have to answer that question, you have to ask the doctors what are the statistics and the like. But oftentimes donating a kidney is not considered, the chances of complications for the donor are Baruch Hashem now so low that it's likely that it's not considered endangering your life. To a large degree, or at least it's going to be okay here. But that's a different sugya. It's a question. Mutter lahachnis atzma l'safik sakana lahatzil chaveru mivadei sakana. Some opinions say it's optional. Some opinions say you're chayv to. Some opinions say it's aser. Not our sugya though.
How for a non-Jew though to do humble?
It would certainly be more complex. Certainly. Now, back to so that's the minchas chinuch. But as I said, for the Rishonim, it doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound that way.
What about
now? There is another way to read the Gemara. Until now, we were reading Rav Sheshis' answer on a fundamental level. In other words, the difference between Tzareini versus Rosh Eivarim is fundamental, right? Either the first Mahalich, because you're not Bialim to redefine the action, and according to the second Mahalich, the Minchas Chinuch, since you can't be Mochel on the Yeser, you can't be Mochel on the Mama. But the Ravid gives two possibilities to read this Gemara, and one of them is actually not at all fundamental, just technical. The distinction is technical, which might be the distinction in the later answers of the Gemara. We're almost there yet. The later answers in the Gemara. But this is what the Ravid says. Rav Sheshis Amar, Mishum Pega Mishpacha, Lo Kol Emenu Sheyimchol. Inami, right, so you have two answers. First answer, first mahalach of the Ravid is like we were saying, it's a fundamental distinction. The second answer of the Ravid is just a technical distinction. Li'olam enu mochal, amaisi is not going to be mochal. Again, that might be what Rabbi Yochanan's answering later on in a different way, but that's what Rav Oshi or Sheshes are answering as well. Okay, so let's read on to the next answer. Rava Amar, Mishum Ein Adam Mochal Rosh Eivarim Shelo. He's not going to do it. Aye, what about the Kasha from Tzareini? Sounds like you would be. Rav Yochanan Amar, Yesh Hein Shehu Kilav, V'yesh Lav Shehu Kehein. In other words, sometimes people don't mean what they say. For those of you who aren't yet married, you'll learn this very quickly. Yesh hein shu kalav, and lav shu kehein, and remember that. Okay? Satani nami hachi, hakeni tsaeni amanas liftor, v'amr lo hein, hare yesh hein shu kalav. Come on, he doesn't really mean it. Bit me a hein? Yeah, sure. Krask susi, amanas liftor, v'amelo lav, have a lav shukahein. Good. Now, how do we understand Rav Yochanan's answer? So here we have, I'll say, four basic mahalchim in the Rishonim. The first is Rashi. Rashi says that Rav Yochanan is coming to give another answer to the question from the Mishnah. He's coming to explain the Mishnah. Now, Rashi asks on himself, well, then it's a little bit fair, because the Mishnah is really mechalek between the case of Roshei Ivarim versus the case of Ksusi. And the answer basically is, according to Rav Yochanan, that there is no fundamental difference between Gufo and Mimono. It's simply how we interpret his words in these particular cases. Tosfos writes that this is very doichak, and according to Tosfos, there is a difference. When it comes to Nizke Gufo, even though he says Hain, and it sounds like he's saying it benichusa, still we say Mistama, what he means is Bitmia. When it comes to Nizke Mamon, even though he says Lav, and it sounds like he's saying it benichusa, Mistama, it's Bitmia, and you'll be Pater. So this is also the view of the Rosh. Halacha, the Rama quotes this view. And basically, there's still no fundamental difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The only difference is what he means. There's a practical difference, which is, the practical difference is, we are going to assume that basically, anytime somebody gives you Rishus to cut them, cut off their finger, they almost certainly don't mean it. Even though it sounds like they mean it, they almost certainly don't mean it. So that's going to be our inclination. We're going to understand his words in those ways. Whereas in the other case, in the case of Mamon, we won't say that. The Ravid says that Rabbi Yochanan is not coming to Mefarish the Mishnah at all. This is the Ravid's preferred explanation. He notes that the Rif doesn't learn this way, but the Ravid's preferred explanation is that he's not coming to explain the Mishnah. He basically accepts Rava's answer that a person is never Mochel al Roshei Ivarim Shelo. And Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a different Shaila with respect to Tsar and Mimono. Then we say Yeshlav Shukehen and Heng Shulav, and that's why in the Braisa that Rabbi Yochanan quotes, so it's not the distinction of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah talked about Roshei Ivarim, but rather it's Hakeni Tsareini versus Kraksusi, right? In other words, with respect to the Mishnah, doesn't matter what you say, like Rava said. But with respect to Hakeni versus Kraksusi, so that's where we have this idea of Yeshlav Shukahein and Hein Shehu Kilav. Now, the Rambam is very perplexing on this. This is a Chayvul Mazik Heyud Aleph, because he doesn't seem to be passing like any of the answers of the Gemara. We have three answers in the Gemara, and the Rambam seems to be like none of them. The Rambam writes, Vodyesh Hefresh Bein Nizke Gufo LeNizke Mimono. So here again, we're talking about a difference between what? Nizke Gufo and Nizke Mimono. This is the opening shir we talked about, Nizke Gufo and Nizke Mimono. We're concluding with Hefresh Bein Nizke Gufo UMimono. Why? Sheha'oimer L'chaveiro Sama'eini K'tas Yadi Alin Hashata Pater Harei Zachayiv B'chamish Advarim Shadavar Yadua She'ein Adam Rotze B'kach. So the Magid Mishnah writes, even though the Rambam doesn't sound like what he's saying, he's really saying that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and he learns like the Ravid, that Rav Yochanan's distinction is not going on the Mishnah. And what's the pshat? Uve hakeni b'tzaeni hu b'davka avu b'roshei varim afilu amar hein b'nichusa chayav v'zeu sheizki rabbeinu b'roshei varim b'davka. In other words, what's going to be the pshat in the Rambam? It's like this. If I say Roshei Ivarim and I'm Ochal Yerchayev, but Hakeni Ptzaeni Tareni, as well as Kraksusi, Amanas Lefter Yer Pater. Now, what's the obvious problem with this Rambam? what would you call hakeni tzareini tzaini? Would you call those nizke gufo or nizke mimono?
Nizke gufo.
That's what I would have said. And what's the Magen Mishnah saying? Nizke mimono. That's pretty schwer. Now, we understand why the Ravid says that. And then the Ravid says, and so why does he leave out the rest of Rabbi Yochanan? Because it's obvious. Now, we understand why the Magen Mishnah says this, because we don't want the Rambam to be against the Braisa, right? The Braisa says, at the end of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan's Braisa, Hakeni, B'tzaini, Almanas, Liftor, Varmelohain, Hariyeshain, Shukilav. But if you really meant it, then what's the din? Vada, you would be potter. So, we don't want the Rambam to be against the Gemara, so we'll say that Nizke Gufo means Rosh Eivar. And moreover, we should paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, the Rai Magen Mishnah says, because there's a Braisa, Kavase. So in light of those factors, we'll interpret the Rambam in this way. But this is really very difficult, because the Rambam presumably uses Nizke Begufo Bedafka, what it always means. So this is what I think the Pshat in the Rambam is. By the way, I should say that nobody seems to learn Rambam like me. Everybody learns Rambam like the Mishnah. So what I'm about to tell you is probably wrong, but this is what it seems to me to be saying anyway, which is like this. The Rambam actually has a totally different taich of the Gemara than everybody else. Totally different taich. What's the pshat in Rabbi Yochanan? So Rabbi Yochanan basically says what? It's totally in your kavana, right? Like Rabbi Yochanan says. And that's what the Rambam states explicitly. When you're chayef, when it doesn't work, why is that true? Shayad davar yadua. In other words, sometimes somebody says I'm loichel, but really, hadavar yadua, it's known that he doesn't mean it. And that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that when it's nizke gufo, you're a pater, because you don't mean it. Just like hakeni sa'areni. And therefore, Keni Tzareini, what's the din? You're chayev. Why are you chayev? Because you don't mean it. Whenever it's Niske Guth, you don't mean it. And that's exactly what the Rambam says. Rambam says, when it comes to Niske Guth, you're chayev. Aye. But what about the first Braisa? In other words, the whole crux of our sugya is trying to basically be miyashev the Mishnah with the first Braisa. Because what did the Mishnah say? You're chayef, right? It doesn't work when you say almanas liftor. And what did the Braisa say? Hakeni tzareini is chayef. Titania, hakeni btzaini, almanas liftor. Sorry, it's pater, right? The Mishnah says chayef, the Braisa says pater. And all the answers, Ravoshia, Rava, Rabba, they're all trying to figure that out. The Rambam is saying no. Rabbi Yochanan brings a brice at the end, and Rabbi Yochanan's right. And what did Rabbi Yochanan's brice say? Hakeni b'tzaini is what? It's chayev. We reject that first brice in light of the second brice. And why? Why is Hakeni b'tzaini chayev? Because you don't mean it. And that's the din of the Mishnah. That's the pshat in the Rambam. The chiluk, we totally reject the chiluk between Rosh Eivarim versus b'tzaini. The chiluk lemaskana sagemar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is between what and what? What the Rambam says, between chovel begufo and chovel bimimono. Mimono, you mean it, so you're potter. Gufo, you don't mean it, therefore you're chayev. Well, that is l'chayev the pshat in the Rambam. And if you look at the Pesha Mishnah, the Mamash sounds that way as well. The Rambam writes over there, Amu yesh hein shu kelav, v'hu, this is explaining the Mishnah. In other words, he's stooping Rabbi Yochanan to the Mishnah. But who's Zesha Omer Lo? Benizke Gufo Almanas Pater Lefishim Inayadua Shein Adamocha. The Rambam is explaining the Mishnah. Why is Rosh Eivarim Pater? Because Yeshen Kshulav, you don't mean it. And that's the same thing for all Nizkei Gufo. Okay, good. So that's a totally different taicha, the Gemara. Now, the Iker, the Gemara, so until now we are basically focusing on the Chavala point. What about the issue of Kraksusi, right? Kraksusi, we know, is Potter. Is Potter. So let's read the last Gemara first before we talk about it too much. Otherwise, we might run out of time. For many, lishmor v'leila abed, right? Shveres kadei kras ksusi chayev. For many, lishmor es kadei v'lo la abed, lishmor v'lo l'kroa, lishmor v'leila chalek lamim. So what's this stira? The Mishnah says that shveres kadei kras ksusi, you're chayev, right? It's only potter if you say amanas liftor, and yet the Brisa here says that there's a drasha. The drasha comes from the word lishmor. And lishmor teaches me that if I give somebody an object, not for shmira, but for example, la'abed, so then he's excluded from the parsha of shmira, and he'd be pater if he breaks it. So the Brisa says that basically shvaris kadi is Potter, and the Mishnah says Shvaris Kadi is Chayev. Sort of a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa.
But you don't have
Shmur Chinam Patur? Yeah, Patur. Shmur Chinam is Patur if it's stolen, if it's lost. But Shmur Chinam is Chayev if he's Poshea. And here he rips it up. But if the guy says, I'm giving it to you to destroy, so then he's patur. But the Mishnah sounds like he's chayav. So I'm refuna loy kasha, hada asi liyade, hada lo asi liyade. Depends if you picked it up. Amar le, rabba lishmor da asi liyade mashma. Elam rabba, hava hada asi liyade, loy kasha, hada asi liyade bitar shmira, hada asi liyade bitar kriya. So, let's sort of jump to the gun. What is the Gemara's maskana? So you could read the Gemara's answer in one of two ways. Either we're giving a fundamental distinction, or a ukimta, basically. We'll see in Tysus. Tysus basically understands the Gemara as an ukimta. In one case, he means it. In one case, he does it. It's a little more complicated. We'll get to Tysus in just a minute. But there are a number of Rishonim who imply that the Gemara's answer is a fundamental distinction. The distinction is whether the guy is holding onto it, the Torah Shmira, in which case he's going to be Chayev or not. Listen to the lesson of the Rambam, for example. Aval ha'omer l'chaver kras ksusi, shvaris kadi, almanasha ata pater, harei ze pater. Vim lo almanasha ata pater, harei ze chayev l'shalem, af al pi, shir shev l'hashchis, b'med v'amamurim, b'shebo ha'kelem liyadu t'chila b'toyer shmira, kigayim, shayu shulem, omuf kadim etzlo, v'amru lo, shvar v'kra, v'asakein, ben chayev l'shalem, at shiomer lo, almanasha ata pater, Avalim Amar lo kach keli ze vishavro beged ze kro vasakeina reze pater. You don't get the impression that the distinction is whether the guy means it or not, the way Tosfos says. This point is made explicitly by the Rama on our sugya. He writes, Masnisin diktani kras ksusi shvaris kadi chayev das liyade meikar b'tar shmira. Dishtabed meikar linatrin hu. Since there's a shibud for shmira, af al gav damer le basar hachikra v'shaver. So even though later on he changes mind, yeah, break it. He's going to be chayev. Adamer le behedya, amanas leftor. So we know that Tosis doesn't seem to learn this way. Tosis thinks that really the distinction is, what does he mean? The Ktsais Simen Resh Mem Aleph says it doesn't make any sense. I mean, he doesn't ask this on Tosis. We see, he just says this Bir in the Gemara doesn't make sense. That the same words have two different meanings depending on when he says it. Stachshver. Now, let's talk a little bit about this Ktsais, because this Ktsais is going to be a Hakdama to the rest of Bava Kamma, which Baleinu L'Toyva, we're going to start soon. As Rav Shechter is Nohig at the Siyum, you start the next thing. So this is, you link the two things, so this is going to link. The Tosis and Ksuvis on Daf Nun Vav.
Where's the Tosis?
Oh,
okay.
Resh Mem Aleph. Resh Mem Vav. Whoops. Resh Mem Vav. The Tosis and Ksuvos is dealing with the Sugya Masna Mashkas Batayra. And he writes Toch Dvarav that Nizikin is a Milvak Ksuv Batayra, and therefore, if you were to potter somebody for Nizikin, it would be begadri masnel mashkasa batayra, which might not work. So then he says, but I don't understand. Our sugya says kras ksusi almanas liftor is potter. V'tiritz harav alchanan. Dehasam nami im haya omer kravishver almanas she'en le alayich din nezek. Then it would be chashem masnel mashkasa batayra. Of a little chol yachol. Now that's Tosis l'shitaso, basically. That all you have is the Tosis over here, we'll see. All you have is the ability to be moichal, nothing more. Anytime you're potter is because I was moichal. Now l'chayra, the Ktsais disagrees with this Tosis, and he quotes a shita mikubetzes in Ksubos to that effect. It's on Daf Lamed Vav. And the Kshita says like this. This is the Ktsos, we'll see, quotes the Kshita. V'lachay nira. De'ba'omer kras ksusi. En b'lashon zeh v'hipater. Ela de'afilu hachi memela pater. In other words, when it's not given b'tayra shmira, is what we said the fundamental answer. When it's not given b'tayra shmira, even though my kavana, the words don't imply hipater, right? Because if the words kraksusi implied kraksusi v'hipater, then it would be pater, whether it's b'tayra shmira or not b'tayra shmira. Like the Ramah said. So the words kraksusi don't imply the hipater. So why are you potter if it's lo asa liyade b'tayra shmira? It's because I gave you reshus. And I can't sue you for something that I gave you reshus to do. That's not nezek. Nezek is when you destroy my property without reshus. So if I gave you reshus, I've redefined the act. That isn't nezek. What's the raya that the Shita Mekubetzes brings? The halacha is, according to the Shita, that if you're mefata a yosayma ktana, you don't have to pay. Even though she lacks the ability to be mochalas. Why? Because there's nisinus reshus. In other words, it's not an act of hezek when it's done with permission. It's not alt mechila, because she lacks the ability to be mochala. She's a ketana. The pshat is that nezek means you're ruining my stuff without my permission. But when I give you permission, that isn't nezek. So kraksusi is pater not because I imply you're pater, but because I gave you permission. What about Shomer? If you're a Shomer, if it's Asli Adbatar Shmira, we know Krux Yusuf is Chayev. Answer is, because Kran is Chayev Bishmira. So you can't be Mafkia that, unless there's an explicit statement, Potter. Now there's, we're out of time. There's much more to say about this. Much more. And we didn't even really explain the Yesod of the Shita. But If we were to summarize, on our sugya we have a very fundamental machlokas about what the definition of nezek, nezikin, is. According to Taisus and Ksubis, and Taisus and our sugya, nezikin is to be mazik mamon chaveru. The Torah defines the term. Torah defines it. If I ruin your property, that's nezek. You could be meichel. But it doesn't make it ois nezek. It's nezek because it's yours. It's nezek bereshus, but nezek reshus is achet nezek. But, so then, sometimes I'm mochel and sometimes I'm not mochel. And that's what our Gemara says. We'll try to figure out what you really meant. Mashen came. The Shita Mekubetzes in Arsavya and the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksubos hold no. Nezek means to be mazik your mama and shalom bershus. Once it's bershus, that's not nezek. So why is it that Tarkraksusi is chayav when it's asla yadu b'tar shmira? That's a din in shmira. That since you're a shomer, you're chayav, unless I'm explicitly mocha. Okay, we actually have a little bit more in the Gemara. Do this quickly. How did Arnake Ditstaka, Dasala Pumpadisa, Afgid Rav Yosef, Gabeu Gavra, Pasha Ba, Asu Ganve Ganvua, Chayve Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef had the Ditstaka box. He gave it over to a guy. The guy was Paisheya, and his Shmira, and it was stolen. Rav Yosef said, you're chayav. Obviously, this couldn't have been Rav Yosef is dying. He would have been puzzles and then in this case, but this is the psak. Amalei Abaye, Vatanya, Lishmor, Velay, Lach, Lech, Laniyim. Mapitom suggests a chazav, you should be pater, because he only gave it to Melchay, Lech, Laniyim. No, Amalei, Aniye de Pumbedisa, Mekutz, Kites, Leho, Velishmor, Ho. That since they're, the way Rashi reads it, see if others disagree, but the way Rashi reads it is that since there was a specific amount designated to each and every ani, so then it was already theirs, and therefore you're chayav to give it back to the aniyim. Says the Rambam, what's the pshat? Mi shifkido etzlei maus shal aniyim, o shal pidyon shvuyim, upasha ben v'nignivu, pater shenemar lishmor. V'lei l'chalak aniyim, v'arei umamun she'en lo tovim. In other words, in theory you should be chayav, but there's no tovim. Nobody could sue you. Afilu bo, fine. Now, I have a question. If it's Mamon She'en Lo Tovim, like the Rambam says, why do we need a Gzeir Sakasav of Lishmor? Right? The reason why I'm Pater is Mamon She'en Lo Tovim. That's a principle. B'chol Tar Kula. The answer is very simple. You're Pater to the Aniyim, because it's Mamon She'en Lo Tovim, but you're Pater to the Mafkid that we need the Gzeir Sakasav of Lishmor.
What's Mamon She'en Lo Tovim?
Means nobody has a claim against this. Because any ani that comes to you and says, give this ani, you know, says to the guy, to the person who's supposed to give it out, give me my money, he could say to them, who says you were going to get? Maybe I was going to give it to the other guy. Right? There's nobody who could sue. That's what Rashi says, and the Rambam. But again, my question is, why didn't you exerce a kasav? The answer is, to exerce a kasav is why the aniyim can't sue. But without the exerce a kasav, who could have sued? Rav Yosef. The answer is no. That since it's lishmor, v'lo l'chalik l'aniyim, he's potter. Now, we noted before that Rashi says that means he designated to each and every person. The Magen Mishnah is in the Medayik that way from the Rambam as well. There's also Shita the Ravid. Now I have a question. Let's say it's not Katzutz. So why could the Aniyim all get together and make our Shah and Suah?
No.
Why not?
Because Mechates, you have all the Aniyim.
Let's say all the Aniyim in this town come together. It's a small town. There's only five. It's just, you know, Rashi said, I didn't designate, you're going to go 10, so why can't they come together? So the answer is, what you see from here, without again, the Kitzer, is that you can't have Shmira if there's no Tovim. And therefore, since there's no Tovim here, then he's not a Shomer, and the male, right, you need a Mafkid Kilu for there to be a Nifkad. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say this guy, so the Gemara says, what happened was he was negligent and it was stolen, right? Let's say he ate it himself. Would he be chayav or pater? So, that's an interesting question. So for the Rambam, it's statement four, she'd be chayav. Because he has a raya for pidyon, it's different, because eimachal pidyon shvuyim dal mizeh, but you would be, otherwise you'd be chayav. So I don't understand, why? Why are you chayav? Why don't we say the same thing? You're pater because lishmar. right? You're potter for the aniyim because they're not tovim. You're potter to the mafkid because leshmor v'leil chalik l'aniyim. So the answer is very simple, I would say. The answer is very simple because the point is that this is a chiyuv, not midin shmira, right? Yeah, it's true. He is mufka from shmira, but maybe if you steal it, so you're chayev shalom midin shmira, right? This only patters you. The gzeres hakasav of lishmor patters me from chiyuvei shmira, like Tosfos points out, right? So, and what? And apparently what? Pshia is a din in Shmira, right? That's what our Tosfos says. Problem is, that's not the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Chiyuvei Shmira, Beis, Halacha Gimel, writes that Pshia is medin mazik. It's not medin chiyuvei Shmira. He writes, therefore, for example, when it comes to Avad Makarkos, let's say a person is Pashaya. You're still Chayef. There's a Gzeres HaKasav. No, the Gzeres HaKasav is medin Gneva Vaveda, chiyuvei Shmira, but not this. So now Hadra Kushe L'Dukhta. When the Gemara over here says that your potter, even though he's poshea, what's it saying? Your potter michovachol. So if so, even if the guy eats it, he should be chayev, right? But the Rambam says if he eats it, he should be potter. But yet the Rambam says if you eat it, you're chayev. So the answer is, as the Mishnah Malchus Merames to over here, we have a yisoid gadol. It's mamish all the yisodas in the last day of this year. Yisoid gadol in all of Hilchos Shmira, which is like this. The way I would put it is that there's Shmira with a capital Shin and Shmira with a lowercase Shin. What does that mean to say? That Shmira with a capital Shin is like Nevin Aveda. That your Chayit, as the Torah said, and when there's a Gzer Sakasa of pottering you, like by Avadim and Shmat, Shtarus Memeli, your potter. But then there is Shmira with a lowercase Shin. And that's chayiv even when the Torah says you're potter from regular shmira with a capital shin. The way Reb Chaim puts this, Chaim's 100th yahrzeit was yesterday, I know, was that sometimes it's a miut of tashlumin, that's what we're saying, shmira with a capital shin, like Nevin Aveda, and sometimes it's a miut of shmira. You're not a shomer at all, right? So the pshat over here is like this. The pshat over here is, why are you chayiv in pshia, right? You're not a shomer. Why is this different than the... We have Gzeres HaKasav over here, pottering him from shmira, and Gzeres HaKasav Ayvadim Karkais. Why are we switching? The answer is, because this is what the Mishnah says. Over here, there's a Svar Lakan and a Svar Lakan. The Gzeres HaKasav tells me, since the guy isn't giving me to return, he's giving it to me to give out, Mistonli is not a shomer at all. So therefore, you're pottering even from shia. But the regular din of Nezek, of Avi, you're still chayev. And this explains why the Ravid's kashan around him. The Ravid asks, why is there a din of Shmir, why Shmir b'Bailam pater you? It should only pater you from Dein Aveda. The answer is no, Shmir from Bailam, Shmir b'Bailam is afka from Shmira. All right, there's much more to be said. I didn't even come close to finishing, but we're out of time. So first of all, Hadron Alach Perka Chayval. Second of all, this was mamish tremendous. There's no time for me to give my divrei hasayrus and at the end, but at the very least, can't be kafui tov. So we wish to thank the Fort Lee congregation for hosting us. This is for us. This is tremendous, tremendous. I had so much fun learning here, and we love the shul and the like. And thank you to Adam for arranging all this. It's a tremendous thing. It's a tremendous thing. This mamish is super duper geschmack. I think, if we could do this all year, I'd quit my job maybe. But anyway, I know that I gained a tremendous amount in learning. I gained a tremendous amount in the chevreshaft, in the conversations in the car, and the conversations at lunch, and the getting to know all of you. Very well. We have a real feeling of chevra. We should keep it up. Not just go back to IU and then go back. Forget each other's names. And be'ezras Hashem, learning milud and nezikin makes you a chassid. So we should be zayche to all become chassidim. and Hasidim in the truest sense of the word. And Bezrus Hashem, you know, finish the rest of Bava Kamma.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.